Welcome to Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast. It's a podcast about a story about a town. Before we get into our introductions, we have a guest this week, a first guest, and finally, thank God, someone who's not a dude. It is Brittany from the Flash Podcast. Say hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Yeah, I like her already. I like her. I'm Chris. I'm from ScreenerTV.com.
I'm Craig from KSiteTV.com.
And I'm Russ from ComicBook.com.
Hey!
So, Brittany, why don't you tell us some more about yourself?
I'm on the Flash Podcast. I also write for The Marvel Report, and I also write for Screen Rant.
Nice.
That's a lot of stuff. You are way busier than I am.
I try.
So, who's your favorite character on Riverdale?
I think it's like an episodal thing. Like, I feel like Veronica started out being my favorite character, and then I really liked Josie at some point, and then Cheryl, like, last week was by far my favorite character, because she just went, you know, full out crazy, and I love it. I love that about her. And then this week,
correct answer was Jughead.
I was gonna say, this week, Jughead was my favorite, because honestly, I wasn't feeling him that much, but then this week, I was like, I'm on board. I'm team Jughead now.
That's awesome.
I will admit, when I watch the show now and when Jughead's speaking, I'm like, is that his narration or is that him if I'm not, like, looking at the screen?
How pretentious is he?
He's mumbling to himself. Just
yeah.
Yeah, we don't ever see him writing the book anymore. There was a lot of him sitting at his computer typing away in the pilot. That doesn't happen so much now.
I was thinking somebody should just do an audio file of all of Jughead's narrations. It could be like Jason Blossom's serial.
If that's not on YouTube, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
You know, they actually did that with Twin Peaks. They released I can't remember what it was called, but they released an audiobook that was all of Dale Cooper's recordings to Diane.
I'm into it.
I watched 3 episodes of Twin Peaks. I'm going to watch the rest, but that was my favorite part. It was Diane. I had like a whole backstory.
How did we know back then that he was talking to Laura Dern? And now we're making Twin Peaks jokes that like people listen. Machen, no, if you're listening.
No, listen, Twin Peaks is a very popular show. It's coming back. And if ever there was another show to reference Twin Peaks with, it's probably this one.
Fair.
As I do on a regular basis.
Yes.
But what we're here to talk about now is episode 6, Faster Pussycats, Kill Kill, Heavy Josie and the Pussycats episode. Thank God. True.
And one thing I'm going to tell you, when we talked to Ashley Murray on our last set visit, her enthusiasm about getting into that outfit, it was like so adorable. I'm actually like literally now.
The fact that they had the costume and the tail and like they curved it and they had the wire on us and it moved. Oh my God, that day. It was just like, oh, that was my favorite day of shooting, hands down, was when we actually got to do it. And we went in and they had the huge set and the Josie and the Pussycats and the big cat head. And I was just, oh.
Yeah, that was the audio clip of Ashley Murray talking about her excitement for this.
They were all very over the moon about it because they got to do the classic pussycat.
And they got to wear long tails with ears for hats. And yeah. Kevin got to make a reference to that.
Yes, I did like that.
Neat, sweet, groovy song. I did come along. Long tails and ears for hats. Guitars and Marshall stacks.
Hot, sweet, super cool. Don't I know these kitties rule? Hooray, hooray. But what I will say is that there was one extra pussycat on stage who was, first, we talked a weeks ago about how Veronica was going, how they kind of spoiled their own surprise and having
Veronica. She didn't sing.
She kind of sang. She was there. She wasn't playing an instrument.
But isn't it appropriate that this week we have a fourth pussycat on our show? But she actually is contributing and singing in our band.
Am I the Veronica of this podcast right now?
You're Veronica, which means you're awesome. Because Veronica.
I mean, yeah, I'm totally fine with it.
I call dibs on Rosario Dawson.
I call dibs on Rachel Lee Josie. Cook. No, Ashley Murray.
Okay.
I was actually Josie in Pussycats for Halloween. Well, not the Pussycats. I was just Josie for Halloween.
Well, yeah, it'd be hard to be all three.
Yeah.
Man, I'm bad at Halloween.
I think we're all just gonna be Jughead because we all have the crown. No, I took notes of what I wanted to talk about, so I'm going from memory because I had to turn my phone off because it decided to start downloading a big file, and
All right, run us through.
So I do remember that I started with being amused by how Alice Cooper says Jughead. She's like, okay, Jughead.
It sounds like foreign language coming out of her mouth.
She's just like, what the hell is a Jughead?
And I
was just confused.
I
was just saying, I was just confused about how he got invited to breakfast. Like, it was just totally normal. Like, oh yeah, hey, I invited my friend to breakfast. Like, where did he come from? Just stay the night? Where's his family? Like, the mom had no questions. It was totally just like, that's fine. Come. Have orange juice.
I will say that him being homeless makes the idea of Jughead hoovering food a little bit less funny.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
What were you saying, Chris?
But for me, are when all of the adults refer, like, because Fred Andrews does it too, refers to him as Jughead. I'm like, it sounds so weird when grown-ups do it. I don't know how I feel about this. Shouldn't you guys just call him Forsythe?
I bet you Grundy would call him Jughead.
Must you speak the name? We rid ourselves of the pedophile of Riverdale, and you just bring it back.
Season 3, return of Jennifer Gibson.
If it doesn't happen in season 2, I'm shocked.
Yeah, oh yeah.
If it doesn't happen at the end of this season, I feel like I'd be kind of surprised.
Maybe let's just hope
she's the killer. It was Miss Grundy.
Grundy is one we've talked about because like there are some weird unexplained circumstances with, oh, well, she used to tutor Jason.
Quote, unquote.
But you know, the kids are calling it these days.
I kind of wondered if that was actually true or if she says that she used to tutor Jason because that's an unverifiable story.
Ooh. Interesting.
I still think there's something weird in the whole puzzle piece of this show, like that Grundy and Archie just happened to be at the river's edge the day all this was going down.
But as we find out, that wasn't the day it was all going down because he wasn't killed until a week later.
But I mean, somebody, it could have been somebody seeing if he was going to run off with Polly or, you know, I mean, it was rewatching this episode today. I was pretty amazed by just like how much was going down at the exact same time. It's like Polly was shipped off on July 4th. Like they were open.
Well, I guess we should sort of start at the beginning of that. We finally got to meet Polly.
Yeah.
It confirms she is definitely not a figment of Betty's imagination or
she's another also kind of brunette.
So that's great, but also she's pregnant.
Yes.
Which is nuts.
What was your reaction when you first saw that?
I was like, why is, first of all, when we first introduced Polly, it's just the reaction on her face. I was like, oh no, she's a crazy person. She's a lunatic, so she's in an institution. And then I realized she was just happy to see her sister. But she played it like crazy.
She's still kind of, like, I kind of wonder if Polly actually is kind of crazy.
She seems a little manic at times.
Yeah, there's still, I don't trust her all the way. Like, I was kind of like, maybe the parents aren't that far off. Like, I don't know. I don't trust her.
Listen, Betty, your parents, they had their
They mean well.
I will say, though, when Alice Cooper had her little bit of tears, where she's like, how could you say it's your father? I was totally getting, like, Twin Peaks crying flashbacks. And they, like, cry for, like, 5 minutes over the music.
Yeah.
I have a kind of alternate thing that's Alice-y, which is that as awful as she was in this episode, we saw what really felt to me like some of the first genuine emotion out of her. Like, she genuinely seemed really upset when they were pulling Polly away.
Yeah. I noticed that, too.
I would agree. Which, it's weird to see her have an honest reaction to anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's very off-putting.
Maybe that journalism convention she went to just, like, changed her.
It was actually, like, a self-help seminar?
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
Oh.
It disappointed me, speaking of, you know, people being away, disappointed me that there was no Cheryl this week. I guess she's on the Thea plan right now, so.
That's all right. She'll be
back. Yeah,
she'll be back next week if somebody loses their jobs or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
She could have been infused in, like, the Pussycat drama, because she's friends with Josie. Like, it would have made more sense, I feel like.
Not that Josie showed up for her brother's funeral.
She's friends with Josie. They're supposed to hear from each other all the time.
That's true. She was paying her back. She was like, this is what happens when you don't come to my brother's funeral when I look so good.
Although, I will say, when we, like, during our first set visit was when they were shooting this. And if you remember, the way they described that friendship when they talked to us way back then was basically that they had their own little fiefdoms and that it was almost a friendship of, like, strategic importance.
Yeah.
Like, two queens of their own kingdoms who are, like, you know, respectfully nodding at each other, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And that totally fits with what we've seen the last 2 weeks, even if it doesn't fit with what they actually stated in previous episodes.
Well, plus, and I don't know if this makes me a jerk, but, like, I don't see Josie being friends with people. She, like, her concern is the Pussycats, and that's about it.
I thought
not in a bad way. Like, she's dedicated, but she doesn't seem to be someone who's like, let's have girls' night, or, like, let's all go to the movies. Like, no, she's working on her music 24/7.
I thought it was really interesting this week. One thing was seeing how her mother treats her and her father differently. Mm-hmm. Like, her father, his doing music is just like a pipe dream, whatever. But, like, you know, Mayor McCoy is totally like, Josie, you know, do your music, encouraging her. And I thought that was just, like, a really interesting dynamic. And it was also interesting to see how much of a jerk Josie's father was.
I don't know. Mayor McCoy said one thing that really unsettled me and made me view that character in a not very flattering way. So Val temporarily leaves the Pussycats. Temporarily, to sing with Archie, for some reason. And Mayor McCoy says, don't worry, Josie, you'll find someone skinny and beautiful, but not as skinny and beautiful as you are. I was like, that's some weird shit to say to your kid.
See, I thought that was sweet. She's being nice to her daughter.
How is that sweet?
She's saying, you're the most beautiful and wonderful daughter ever.
That's how you install an eating disorder in a child. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but the parents of this town are so messed up. In Riverdale.
That doesn't make it okay.
Also, everyone in Riverdale.
Everybody's a dick.
What do you two think?
I was saying, also, the one thing I, for some reason, first noticed in this episode is that everyone in Riverdale, except for the Blossoms and the Coopers, are all single, like, single children. Like, Archie doesn't have siblings. Like, Josie doesn't have siblings. Like, Veronica doesn't have siblings. Like, where are all the other, like, kids? Like, everyone just had one kid. And was like, we're good. Like,
hey, Valerie has a brother.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Jellybean is out there somewhere.
Jellybean.
Yeah,
somewhere. Or her dad is a Jellybean. Who knows if she's real?
Maybe Jughead is Jellybean. It's kind of like Betty being Polly.
It can't be true.
I think the interesting thing about Mayor McCoy, but by the way, does Mayor McCoy have a first name, or is it just Mayor?
I feel like we know it somewhere.
I can look it up.
But I think the interesting thing about Mayor McCoy is that she went on a journey in this episode, because you really see her being pretty shitty to Josie in the beginning. But then, like, her husband is so shitty that she, like, reacts defensively and becomes, like, a legit, like, good mom / stable presence for Josie by the end of the episode.
By the by, her name is Sierra McCoy.
Hmm. I think I did know that, now you mention it.
Sierra Riverdale, mother to Josie. You're welcome.
The more you...
Yeah, she did, by the end of it, she did redeem herself in a big bad way.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me wonder, would she have been able to redeem herself if her husband weren't even a bigger shithead?
Oh no, that's like, that was that, key to
what
it.
Turned around is that the dad's so awful? And that's kind of sad.
I just want a web series of all these adults back in the 90s and seeing how shitty they were back then as kids.
Like Riverdale, the previous generation?
Yeah. Exactly.
I maintain that I think that whatever's going on with all those people is going to be key to Jason. Like, there's way too much random crap going on especially with the Lodges and the Blossoms for that not to somehow play into kind of the big picture.
Oh, yeah, and, like, their weird maple syrup background that will somehow be important. I can't, like, say that with a straight face. Like, I don't...
That was such a weird thing to also end in. Like, you know why we hate each other, right? Well, their great-grandfather killed your great-grandfather. I know you've never heard of this before now, even though you're almost an adult. Like, how would you not hear about the fact that one family killed your family?
And then live next door to you and, like, yeah, presumably have for a long time.
Riverdale's not a big town. It's a small town with pep. You would think the family killing another family would be sort of legend in a town that size.
It's certainly, I mean, again, going to Twin Peaks, like, that was a big, like, there were two, like, essentially warring families that had lumber mills. Like, where 100 years ago, one of the Martells got killed by one of the Packards. And, you know, like, that's literally a thing that was built into that show, but it was, like, it was town lore, and they kind of offhandedly reference it a couple times.
Clearly, we need to do a Twin Peaks episode of Archie Digest.
I know, right?
Use our listeners.
I like
when it premieres on Showtime in however many months. They'll be like, okay.
It'll be like the week after the finale, so, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, like, so we had the Josie's mother stuff. We had
Valerie. Costumes. I love Valerie so much.
Yeah.
And we had Archie and Valerie kiss.
Yeah, this is a kissy episode, man.
Big one yet. Though.
Yeah, we'll
rate it, guys. Yeah. We're gonna have thoughts.
Well, yeah. Let's go with Fred and Hermione, where it's like, I was surprised we got all these first kisses, and the only couple that didn't kiss that we saw on screen were Jason and Polly.
Well, he's kind of dead.
No, but like in the flashback there, they just kind of look longingly at each other in the same creepy way that he looks at Cheryl.
Except this time he looked so hard it put a baby in her. That's how piercing his gaze is.
Which, again, I think I said this
off. His nightwing stare.
I think I said this off mic. I don't know if we said it once we started recording, but part of the reason that I asked Brittany to come on this episode is because Brittany figured that out, like, last week.
I was pretty excited. Sorry?
What is it that made you think that?
Anytime a girl gets sent away, it's usually because she's pregnant. And also then they were like, Jason was trying to get money. And like, why would you need to get money if your girlfriend suddenly disappeared? Like, I just know. I just put the clues together. I felt like, oh, he needs, I think that's the one line that tipped me off. They were like, oh, Jason needed to get money fast. Like, how fast? 9 months fast? Because, like, that's a specific timeline, you know? You need to get money real quick for a baby coming. So, I don't know. I feel like, and also I was like, this is something that this show would probably do. So, I wasn't the only one that figured it out. There was a couple people on my timeline. Also, we were chatting, like, oh, definitely pregnancy. But I was like, yeah, I like, never get things right. So, I was pretty excited when I saw it.
So, this is why we need to get you to guess who killed Jason Blossom.
I'm not good at that kind of stuff. I don't know, because I've
just throw it in. Cheryl.
I think Cheryl was in a jealous rage. She didn't want her brother to run away.
Can we take
never be back on this podcast with attitude like that.
I'm telling Madeline.
I'm rooting for it to be Cheryl just because I love her so much and I feel like she's an interesting character.
For it to be Cheryl?
Does that mean she'll be Gale next season? Unless she's
But then it could be like a Chicago like spinoff where she's just like this evil like murderess in jail and like singing like, you know.
Cheryl in the City.
Orange is the New Blossom.
There you go.
Yeah, she's getting her own spinoff.
Now, I want to backpedal just slightly because I forgot totally to talk about this last week, and then Craig and I talked about this. But in the vein of the Jason Blossom mystery, there was a thing that there were two quick little things in last week's episode that I did not mention that I wanted to like kind of get out there, which is one, in the scene where Betty and Jughead were in his room, is it not just me that like that blue gym bag just sticks out like a sore thumb in that room full of like dark earth tones. And like they're sitting there going like, where could he have hidden something? What's going on here? And it's like in the foreground of the shot sitting on the piano stool is like this blue and white bag in a room that's otherwise basically black.
Yeah, usually they show something like that. It means something. I don't think I noticed it when I watched it, but that's interesting.
I'm going to pretend it means they're terrible investigative journalists.
Fair.
They have no idea.
I mean, they are They are pretty bad. They were just touching all the... I mean, I like that they realized it was evidence in the car. They're like, oh my God, and like Jughead like threw the drugs.
But then that was, I think, my pictures, favorite part. You know,
but not of the drugs, apparently, because they didn't tell Sheriff Keller about those.
And why did they
just said, oh, there's his jacket and other stuff.
Well, why did they have to drive back to the school? Why couldn't they call? Also, my other theory is that Sheriff Keller is somehow the killer because he hasn't been, he doesn't have any backstory yet. So I feel like something's coming with him.
That's kind of what, that was the other thing from Five that I wanted to kind of talk about. Was
why did they drive all the way back there to go get him instead of calling him on the phone?
At Cheryl's Memorial, we talked a little bit last week about like why or what did Hal Cooper have to say to Clifford Blossom? Here's my thing. I'm wondering if, because I mean, okay, so we saw the end of Five, we know that Hal has the documents from Sheriff Keller's house. I'm wondering whether he was talking to Clifford about that. Like, that Clifford no longer trusts his lapdog, the sheriff, and somehow he and Hal are in cahoots to steal these documents because they're thinking that they could do better.
So you think Betty's dad approached Cheryl's dad and was like, let's solve this murder.
I don't know.
Everyone wants to be in a Scooby gang.
They literally hate each other so much.
Well, but all we have is their word that they hate each other.
Institutionalize their children to keep it away from the other child. But they're like, maybe no, like, call this aside and solve a murder together, Shaggy.
Maybe it's the moms that hate each other, but the dads are like, hey, we miss watching the game together. But like the moms were the one that like started the feud. So they're like, let's secretly involve this investigation together. So we have something to like hang out and do.
While I like that in theory, I don't think either of these guys watch football. First of
That's
all.
That's true.
They don't look like football bros. Second of all, the moms definitely didn't start it. The great-grandparents started it when they started killing each other.
But again, that's something that all we have is his word that has never been corroborated because Betty didn't hear it until she was 17.
And this is when he was also telling lies like, oh, Polly tried to take her life. That's why we sent her away.
Yeah, what kind of fuck-up says that about his daughter if it's not true?
Yeah, I guess we can't really trust anything Hal Cooper says.
Well, I also think that even without all of this pregnancy stuff, or maybe that's the wrong thing to say, without this whole murder mystery thing, I think Alice Cooper still would have sent her daughter away when she was pregnant because she's probably like super conservative and didn't want people to know that her daughter got knocked up.
Well, yeah, the idea that they sent her to like a religious coven.
Yeah.
That's some weird bonkers shit.
I don't know if it's so much religion though. I feel like that is more about control and about the fact that the Blossoms have more money than God. So as soon as they know, it's going to be kind of out of Alice's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, to me, it's almost like, okay, we're going to send you someplace where we know that this is what they do and they're not going to tell anybody. because as soon as somebody finds out that there's a baby in the works, the Blossoms are going to do everything they can to essentially steal her.
Well, can we talk about the idea that, like, okay, so Polly may not be 18, but she's almost 18.
Yeah, I was going to ask how old they're supposed to be.
I think she's clearly
able-bodied. She's pregnant, but, like, she's not, like, incapacitated. Why didn't she leave? Like, just get up and walk. Like, that was my thought as I was watching the episode. I was like, you're just hanging out in a garden by yourself. Like, there's nobody around keeping an eye on you. You could literally just walk away, and I don't think anyone would notice.
She had to jump dramatically out the window, though.
Which,
that's true, after the fact, yeah.
Even though she's pregnant, which is like, yeah, that'll do wonders for the baby to jump. But then again, we live in a world where Veronica Mars, they could go off a cliff in a bus, and a person could still be pregnant.
But I have my doubts about whether that was actually Polly who jumped out of a window or whether somebody broke into that window, because that blood looked like it was on the outside to me.
Maybe so it was like, Jason's ghost.
Oh my God, what if Jason's ghost?
Isn't she on like the second floor too? Like, how did she either A, like survive the fall, or B, someone get up there to break her out? Like, I don't think she's on the ground floor.
No, that wasn't the impression we got. And I mean, to be fair, the three of us were in that room the day that we watched this episode for the first time. And so we can tell you.
Was the room we were in?
No, I don't think it was the same room, but it was the room where Betty was on the phone and didn't have reception.
Yeah, yeah, because we all joked about how we had better reception there than she did.
There's a condom machine in the next room.
Really? At the convent? That's crazy.
Well, Polly could have used that. Or Jason, I guess, could have used that.
I don't think they had sex at the institution.
Oh.
I don't know what those kids are into.
The dark turn.
Can we just say for a second how great it was to see Betty reunite with Polly after not knowing what happened to her or why she wasn't getting any return contact from her sister for the entire
or from season. Jason
or no, but why Betty was like I can't get a hold of her like. After all of that, she was finally reunited with Polly. That was a very nice moment.
It was like a win for the show and for the character.
Yeah.
Betty really needed a win because it's been a rough while.
But I thought it was kind of heartbreaking though. It's like, so how's Jason? It's
like, oh, I gotta go. That would have been my response. Yeah. How's Jason? Oh shit, look at the time. I'm late?
Well, actually, not as late as you were.
Oh.
Wow.
Pregnant,
but no. Yeah, I mean, that's a yeah.
we just had a pregnant pause.
Oh, Jesus. I quit.
Russ is like, I can't do that.
Let's jump forward past the convent though and go to the next kind of scene. Like, they get home. First of all, does anybody in this town actually eat at dinner? It just seems like every time there's a dinner table, it's just fucking everybody's fighting.
I think Archie's family ate dinner like that one. Well, they were fighting.
That's
Archie
true.
And the mayor.
And the mayor, yeah.
People pick up food from Pops.
It's true.
That's true. No one.
I don't know what.
So here's the more serious point that I wanted to make though was Betty seems to have gotten to the point where she gives no fucks about her parents, whatever. Because, like, she's being super, like, she literally asked Hal if he killed Jason Blossom.
Oh, yeah, Betty's beyond the stage of giving any fucks whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Which, by the way, they didn't, like, punish her or anything either. It wasn't like, you're a grounded young lady. They're like, we can't control her anymore. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
Grounding her's not going to do anything.
Betty tried on a different shade of makeup, and it was all downhill from there.
Oh, man.
She got rid of that pink lipstick and just became a wild child. Started accusing us of murder, breaking into sanitariums. It was madness. Maybe set a car on fire. Who knows?
Well, again, I think, I mean, if you want to get super analytical about it, I feel like the setting the car on fire is something that was totally within the capabilities of Sheriff Keller. Since presumably he didn't take Jughead and Betty there, without being able at some point to radio to somebody to destroy it.
Why do you think he would do that? Are you still on the Sheriff Keller's in on it?
I still am. Yeah. My thing is this, he, you know, in the first couple of episodes, there were a couple of references to him being like a lapdog to the Blossoms. Like there was the something about how like he serves a higher power. And that's Penelope and Clifford Blossom. And then there was in, four, I want to say, there was a line about how Hermione couldn't go to the cops with her problems because she doesn't know if she can trust the police.
Well, see, there's things like that, but we've yet to see an outright, like, tangible connection between Keller and the Blossoms, as far as I know. Like, I don't think we've seen him sort of doing deeds for the Blossom family, have we?
No, although, I mean, things like him just kind of skulking around while they're getting things ready for the funeral, and them telling him, like, oh, yeah, we're bringing all the suspects here because you're not doing a good enough job. Like, all that's, kind of reinforced.
Yeah, that to me just rang like a shitty thing that the Blossoms do because they're all monsters.
Well,
average day.
I want to believe Keller's a legitimately good guy with a good kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're talking, though, about the whole fire thing already in the car, there was a shot at the end of Betty and Jughead talking to Keller where they were kind of like, where it, like, panned up to show the speakers, was that her hearing Archie doing the music, or was it to hint that the speakers might have been bugged?
No, the reaction shot that Lily did, I got the impression that she basically heard Archie and felt like, because she's been his best friend since childhood, that, like, you know what, on a lot of levels, I really should be here right now, but I just can't.
She was missing like a big moment in her friend's life.
Exactly.
Well, it was also a really interesting situation where I feel like she comes to realize that they aren't the big part in each other's lives they would have been 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Bughead has become her sort of default go-to running buddy, and Archie's off having sex with literally anything.
I was not a fan of, like, as much as I love Val, like, I don't want to see, I wish they had, like, a Pussycat story that didn't involve Archie, like, getting involved. Because I feel like the Pussycat story
is better, you're right.
Also, yeah.
Like, can we talk about how shitty Archie was to Veronica.
Veronica.
Oh, Valerie, you want to help me? See you later, Veronica. Well, you were just doing it as a favor, right? That was just so mean.
Yeah, but that gave Veronica the perfect, like, fuck him. I'm going to destroy him type of attitude. I love that.
I think that somebody who deserves a little credit, who will probably get no credit for this episode, mm-hmm. is Asha Bromfield. Because, like, Melody has literally zero lines. But, like,
but she's there all the time.
Well, and her like, she did a lot of good, solid. Yeah, her nonverbal acting in this episode was really good. Like, she was clearly super uncomfortable when they did the, like, fuck you walk through the school past Archie and Valerie.
Josie first started fighting, her kind of was just like. Kind of like she was mad, but also like done with them fighting all the time and just like not wanting to get in the middle. Like, it was, she was really good.
Meanwhile, I just want them to stop wearing cat ears everywhere.
See, the cat ears, like, I don't mind, but like the tails were like a little much when they were actually performing. I was like, oh, I forgot about these costumes. And
no, but imagine this. Say, let's pretend you go to Riverdale High and you show up for like Mr. Jenkins' math class and you walk in. And it's just a bunch of teenagers and then three chicks wearing cat ears. And you're like, what the fuck, you
guys?
That's
their brand. It's their branding.
High schoolers don't have a brand.
It's 2017. High schoolers definitely have brands.
If you're Sierra McCoy's daughter, you have a brand.
Yeah, but your brand is like the 75th anniversary jubilee or something like that.
I feel like there are definitely high school girls walking around with cat ears. Like, they sell them at, like, Forever 21. Like, it's a thing.
Well, sure, because they're all trying to be Josie and the Pussycats.
On the point of branding, can I just, one of the throwaway lines that I really wanted to comment on here, how does one headline a variety show? And if the Pussycats are indeed headlining the variety show, why is Archie going on after them?
Yeah.
And I also love, well, number one, I loved that they had, like, the cat, like, symbol behind them. Yeah. But we also saw the Josie and the Pussycats logo from the comics.
Yep, on the drum.
A fun little twist. Oh, yeah. In addition to all the DC Rebirth covers that we saw very prominently in this episode.
Yeah, we did.
And the mascara that Veronica, or not Veronica, Josie was using.
Yeah, the cover girl. Well, the cover girl is every week.
Well, there's another episode where Alice Cooper, like, breaks out her compact and that's the word, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
her foundation.
Yeah, and it like had like cover girl logo on it. It's like, really. But if it pays for the show to be on, I'm
that's
cool.
Right.
But
right,
yeah.
The whole headlining the variety show thing didn't make any sense. And you're right. It made less sense. We're like, and now a dude with a guitar. Go on.
and you can still see like Josie's instruments in the background. Like, their drums were still up there.
Yeah, I took a screen capture of Archie standing in front of the Josie and the Pussycats, like, drum and display and taking his bow, like, no, I'm done now, but there's still all this other stuff over. Who owns this guitar?
I just wish that, like, Kevin Keller had done, like, a stand-up set, like a tight 15. Like, a variety show doesn't just have to be music. Let's get can Reggie juggle?
Reggie can have wise guy jokes. Like, his
I think Jughead can juggle. Juggling Jughead is a thing.
He is too busy solving murders and burning cars.
And kissing people.
And writing his diaries.
That's true.
That's right. about a town.
Writing his memoirs.
That's true. It is about a town. Or a state. We had some confusion about that.
The what? Oh, yeah. I don't even know.
One of the things that I want to give a little kind of wink and a nod to is Sleuthster, which this is like the third time that this has happened. We haven't mentioned it yet. Sleuthster is the search engine that they use. Which I actually went to the website, and Sleuthster is owned by Warner Brothers, although it is inactive. Which seems like a missed opportunity.
You know,
it seems like something Veronica Mars would have used too. Like, did she use Sleuthster? And like the later
season, Smallville had something that they used. I forgot what it was called.
I think Smallville had Finder Spider, didn't it? Like X-Files and stuff.
No, they had something. I forgot what it was called, but it was a Warner Brothers owned domain.
Oh.
I remember.
I'm just still disappointed that the at Cheryl Bombshell isn't doing much on Twitter.
They've tweeted like twice.
Yeah, that's a weird kind of thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, okay, is his name Josh the one that you recruited to listen to the podcast, Russ? Josh Hill or something like that? Did I make that up?
Jonah Hill? Jonah Hill listens to the podcast?
Yeah, I was giving him a shout out, but then I forgot his name because I'm lame.
Great shout out,
Chris. I know. And also a shout out to Betty and Juggy, which is a Twitter account.
Oh, I thought you were talking to the characters on the show. I was like, I don't think you know how this works.
Yeah, and hi to Archie Kins and Ronnie. And no, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
Dylan McKay.
But yeah, Josh, I gave the shout out to on episode 2, I want to say, or maybe 3. I was confused. I was trying to figure out if there was something that I was like checking my mentions to make sure that he hadn't sent us something today that we were supposed to be talking about.
No, he sent something to me at Riverdale TV.
Oh.
Wait, can I get a shout out?
Yes.
Hey, shout out to my mom who doesn't know what a podcast is and isn't going to listen to this. You get him, Kim Hainer. Recognize. I'm good.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I want to touch on another weird little – and we still have the kind of lingering thing of that other kiss that we want to talk about.
But, speaking of Betty and Juggy, shout out.
But another little thing that I wanted to talk about real quick first. When you know, we were talking about how crappy everybody was to Ronnie, obviously one of the things that plays into that is the Fred and Hermione relationship.
Yeah.
When Fred comes to Archie, Archie said something kind of interesting I didn't catch on the first time through, which is – he says, no, we're good, Dad. Like, I'm good. Mom's good. Which, to me, it's an interesting turn of phrase. I'm wondering if Archie is in contact with his mom and whatever's going on with her is not as mysterious as we kind of had told ourselves it might be.
Yeah, it's interesting because we know we're going to meet Archie's mom. Molly Ringwald plays her.
She's just been stuck in detention for 30 years.
Well, but so KJ did an interview this week where he was asked about working with Molly Ringwald, and he said he actually didn't get to see her much at all. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder if they're even going to have a scene together or if Mama Andrews is going to have a scene with Fred.
It's both. Because when he talked to us, he said...
When she comes back, it's kind of... he hasn't seen her for a long time, so... yeah, it was obviously really surprising when she walked through the door with Fred. And the few scenes that we have with each other are really great, but we don't see her for that much.
Interesting.
So, and I think that's all. Nothing spoilery about that, really, other than the fact that like it's a thing that's going to happen, but it doesn't tell us anything about the story.
Yeah, but it's clearly not as if this is going to be some long drawn out thing where Molly Ringwald is around all the time.
Yeah,
which I'm okay with.
I don't know why I assumed Archie's mom was dead for some reason. Like, when he was like, oh, mom's good, I'm like, oh. And then he's like, my parents are separated. For some reason, I just had assumed that, like, she had died, and that's why it was the two of them. Like, I don't know why I didn't think.
Well, they separated, didn't really talk about any drama.
Yeah, I feel like it would have mentioned something more. So, yeah.
Jason Blossom killed her.
I believe that.
Or she killed Jason Blossom.
And then
she got out of Dodge.
Chicago, right?
Second only to my vibe theory.
Wait, if she's in Chicago, what if she's not in Chicago, but she's in Shermer, Illinois?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Ooh.
I almost have to wonder if that's
a dogma comic book.
Don't. It's not good.
I loved that comic book series.
I certainly liked it when it came out, but I haven't read it since, like, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back came and stole a third of its plot.
This is true.
So, yeah, we're not going to get much Molly Ringwald, but I think we'll get enough to, like, kind of whet the appetite in hopes that she'll be back down the road.
With her new husband, Judd Nelson.
That would be cool.
Yes, please.
I would pay for that, yeah.
You'd pay?
All of the CoverGirl, all of the CoverGirl ads. Just put them in there so we can get Judd Nelson.
No, Russ is actually going to pay out of his own pocket. He just volunteered.
Well, I mean, I bought this back when we had the first four episodes and they hadn't come out yet. I bought the season pass already. Like, I could have waited a month and just bought stuff that I didn't already own on DVD. But, like, I'm paying for this show more than I need to.
I don't think I've ever bought a season pass of any. But...
Well, speaking of things that you have, you know, for the show, the contest is launched on our Facebook page.
That's true, which technically is a violation of Facebook rules, and we could get in trouble, but I don't think they care that much.
There's a contest?
Yes.
Can I win it?
We talked about this last week, man. You already know who killed Jason Blossom.
Oh!
Yeah, the first...
Guys, I want to win this contest.
No, the first person to accurately guess it will get a replica Jughead cap made by somebody that Russ is close to.
No, in this case, it wasn't somebody I'm close to. I literally just bought that one.
Okay.
Because after we were talking about it last time, and I was like, yeah, I can see if my mother-in-law or my wife can make one. And then, like, I found one online for cheap. And so I was like, oh, hey, I'll get this one. And that way we don't have to wait.
I tweeted about it, and I had a second tweet that said, if you work on Riverdale or you're in the cast or crew, you can't enter.
So you didn't mention me by name.
No. But I did get a response from Trevor, Jason Blossom, where he's just like, huh? Like, he was like mad that he couldn't participate, and I was like, you are Jason Blossom. I think you know who killed Jason Blossom.
I tell you what, if Jason Blossom, if Trevor wants a Jughead hat, we will make that happen for him.
So he needs to be listening to the show, and then he can tweet at us and be like...
Exactly. If Trevor tweets at us to tell us that he heard that on the show, I will absolutely make sure he gets one in the next couple of weeks.
And if any cast members are listening, please, like, let us know, because we're not going to censor ourselves when we talk about you too much.
That's true. Joaquin
is, what's his face, is
Kevin's boyfriend.
Oh, the serpent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, again, man... That kind of scared look that he gave him about being Sheriff Keller's son. Like, I feel like that's more than just like, oh, he's the sheriff. I feel like it's a dirty sheriff. We know for a fact this guy's bad news.
I'm still team Kevin and Moose, but bring back Moose.
Caboose. Yeah, I was telling you last week, I have a Kevin Keller comic book that is like right by. I know the people listening can't see it, but you can see it, Brittany.
I can see
Like, I was looking through it, and there's a panel where like Moose is like just like hanging out with Kevin, and I'm like, okay, this is suddenly just really weird.
Yeah, I like it.
You know? But I get it. It's like when I hear about maple syrup now, I just have a different connotation in my head. Like, Riverdale ruins everything. I'm just kidding. Riverdale makes something wonderful.
I agree.
Now, this is jumping around before we get to the big thing, which I think we're saving for last. The ratings took a dive last week.
Was it a big dive?
It was under a million.
Oh.
Which is not really a big dive because it's been around 1.2, I think. But it was
1.4 for a while.
Well, yeah, it's been slowly declining. But yeah, this was a hard week.
What was happening on TV last Thursday?
Arrow hit a series low that week too, but
yeah, the CW's not having a great season in general. I think it's safe
and
to
Thursdays
say
are a hard night for TV.
Oh, and
Shondaland.
That's the thing. How to Get Away with Murder had their finale.
You can't compete.
That's a rough thing to go up against. So
I don't even watch that show anymore, but I like read all the reviews to see what happened and how to get
so
murdered. I wanted to know who died and who killed the person, you know, who killed what.
And Dean Cain was on Supergirl this week.
Was he?
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And next week they're introducing Terry Hatcher, so I keep hoping.
What else is there to hit on before we get to the good stuff?
Well, so Well, going back to like the ratings, do you think everything will still be okay for season two? Yeah, because of the Warner Brothers Archie deal.
I also think it'll rebound this week with how to get away with murder finale tearing it down.
Also, I know this is going to be running on Thursday, but we're recording on Monday, and on Tuesday night they're actually re-airing the Riverdale pilot. After the Flash. But I think it's...
Where it should have goddamn been in the first place.
But it's also up against, I guess... is that when Trump is speaking? So anybody who doesn't want to watch Trump could put on Riverdale.
And should put on Riverdale.
So maybe, like... I know, again, going back to Smallville, some of the highest ratings of that show was when they had, like, big, like, political State of the Union addresses because it was the only thing on.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll help Riverdale.
I sure hope so.
And then they could just put Legends back on Thursday. And oh, wait, Legends is almost done anyway.
Yeah,
they wrapped today or recently.
I think iZombie would probably even do better on Thursday than...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't even know anymore.
As long as we get season two, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I think we're solid with season two. I mean, the ratings, whenever it goes down, is scary because you don't want it to fall anymore. But I really, like... Whether they're officially gone or not, I think No Tomorrow and Frequency are functionally gone.
Yeah.
And, I would
feel powerless if there's No Tomorrow for this show. And
you used that joke on the pilot.
I don't think powerless is going away.
You really?
Yeah, no. I think it's back next year. Well enough to hold on.
Really?
Yeah.
But But that's, like, I really think that between the Warner Brothers Archie deal and the fact that CW is not going to want to cancel every new show that they launch this year, I think Riverdale is, I won't say that they're in good shape, but I think that it's safe for a second season. Well, and then next year there's going to be expectations.
Well, I have a friend who I'm not going to name because I don't want to talk out of class with what she was saying, but she suspects that what they'll probably do is, if they do get picked up for season two, is they'll do what they did with Carrie Diaries and bring in like a major character that hasn't been introduced yet. Like have like Sabrina be a regular character in season two or something to get more people talking.
Yeah, I think that was going to happen anyway. So that's probably a really good bet.
She can replace Sheriff Keller after he's revealed as the killer.
Stop it.
The Sheriff Keller is the killer.
Why would you do that?
Sheriff Killer.
That's not clever.
I'm just enjoying the fact that this theory irritates Chris so much.
It does. He seems like a nice guy. He loves his kid. Yeah. I don't know if he's a single dad, but like,
yeah. Where's his wife?
He the missus around. Like, go get him, Sheriff Keller. You're a good guy. People are just dicks to you, Craig.
All I did is called him Sheriff Killer.
Hashtag
like a murderer. No, I
we're gonna start a documentary making Jason Blossom's murderer.
We already have that. It's called Riverdale.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's like In book. Cold Blood. Oh, sorry.
In Cold Blood.
So just sort of breaking down let's kind of look at what we learned this week about the Jason Blossom thing. Prior to this week, what we knew is that Jason wanted to, according to Cheryl, Jason wanted to escape being under his parents' thumb. Cheryl was helping him run away. What we know now is that Jason was trying to run away with Polly, and they were going to buy a farm somewhere with all their drug money. And, like, raise their baby in eternal middle of nowhere, hiding from the world's happiness.
Two 17-year-olds.
We're
engaged.
Hey, tale is old as time. Couple 17-year-olds get engaged, sell a bunch of coke, buy a farm, have a baby. That's the way the world
that's
works.
That's the next season of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Then what we... So, yeah, pretty much. What we know from there is that Cheryl helped him get across Sweetwater River.
So she says.
And then made it look like the canoe had capsized and they were lost and blah, 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 blah. Instead, what we know is that Jason was held somewhere for a week. He was seemingly tortured, shot in the head, and frozen.
That Sheriff Keller is mean.
Stop it.
I don't know, the freezing thing, man, that's like chaos killer stuff.
Yeah, because it's not, he can't say like, well, he froze because he was in the icy waters of Sweetwater. We're like, no, it was summertime.
Maybe Kevin Keller used to date Bobby Drake.
No.
I want my crossovers, damn
not,
it.
Not, it's one day. But that's what we know. Like the essentially, it looked like Jason, contrary to what seemingly everybody in Riverdale thinks about Jason, he actually cared about Polly, which is not the picture. Like, we got such a different picture of Jason in this one episode than we have in any other episode of the show, which is always painted him as kind of shit in it.
That's true.
Last week we got the thing where it was like Cheryl was very open that like Jason was her protector. Like she told the story that really got me right in the heart, where it was like Jason insisted that we share a birthday party because no one would ever come to my birthday party.
Which I don't understand because Cheryl's awesome. I would totally go to her birthday party.
Yeah, but she's a mean girl, and a lot of people don't like the mean girl. Then this week we get the idea that like Jason loved Polly. He wasn't this horrible person that did a horrible thing to her that caused her to go insane. They were planning to run away together.
Unless Polly is delusional.
Sure, like we're basing these stories that we're learning on the narrators that are telling them.
Yes.
And who knows how reliable they are, but it's painting such a different different picture of Jason than what we learned, than the picture that was painted in, like, the first four episodes.
Well, it was one thing that came up last time.
Jason's grandmother bolsters that it's not just Polly being delusional, because Jason's grandmother has the same version of events.
You know, she's kind of scary herself.
Yeah, but she's scary.
But, what I was going to say is when we were on set, that was one thing that Trevor was pointing out is, like, he would learn about Jason every time he read a script. And, like, when we were live tweeting episode 3, he'd be, like, yelling at the TV, "That's slander! That's not true! Jason wouldn't do that!" It just kind
of... Yeah, they had that whole episode with the book, where the girls found the book of, like, all the stuff that the guys had said. Yeah, and he was, you know, he's in the book, so I guess, I mean, maybe he was bragging to his friends or something, but it paints a different picture of him.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there was still a part of Jason that was a 16-year-old boy. But...
Yo, I totally knocked up this girl.
Yeah, but it seems to me there was more than what the surface would tell you about Jason Blossom. And I think it's awesome that they're kind of exposing that. And, like, you look at a character like Betty or even a Jughead, and in a way they're kind of characters that have villainized what they think Jason Blossom is. And now they're getting exposed to the idea that, like, oh, you might have been way wrong the entire time. And they have to kind of deal with that as they're trying to figure out who killed him. All right, Russ, what else you got on your notes?
Yes.
All
right.
I still have a bunch because we've been jumping around so much. Why don't we jump into... There's two quick things I wanted to touch on before going into the big one. And we talked a little bit about this last time, but there's the line in this episode about how Veronica wants to go back to the way things were. And that was an interesting line. Like, to me, she had become such a different person. And, like, she is working so much at changing who she is that it almost kind of rang false, her saying, like, I just want, you know, when Dad gets out of the jail, I just want everything to go back the way it was.
Well, I think it's also because she was disgusted with how things were going this week. It's like everybody's kind of just like crapping on her and replacing her or whatever. And then her mom's going around kissing other dudes that aren't her dad.
And her signature.
I'm like, I can't wait to see her reaction to Hermione. Like, well, she kind of had the reaction at the end of this episode where she realizes that Andrew's construction got the deal and Veronica just is like, huh.
Well, here's the thing, like, and it's sort of the same way I defend or react to the way almost anyone acts on this show. She's a kid. Like, Veronica is changing a lot and for the better. She's like becoming less of the superficial person she was and more of the realistic person she can be. But I don't begrudge her for thinking back on that life as personal comfort, because like who anyone who comes from I don't know about any of your background, but when you come from a life where your parents have split up or your parents have separated, there are times when you romanticize the idea of what they were when it's not necessarily the reality of what they actually were.
And also, Veronica was very close with her father, which we see in the Riverdale one-shot, mm-hmm. which is now available in comic book stores. If this is running Thursday, it came out yesterday, so go buy
it. Yeah, and on Comixology, if you want to get a digital one, because I know most people here probably don't go to comic book stores.
Yeah, Comixology.com, yes. I'm sure you can find it through ArchieComics.com somewhere.
Or just go buy it at a comic
book store.
Go out of your way to go to a comic book store. Go to a brick and mortar store and buy a comic book.
Just don't go. Never mind. I was going to trash my old comic book store, but I'll be nice.
Moving forward a little bit, though, I actually really liked the bit, and when Veronica tells Archie to focus on someone who makes you feel safe. In spite of the fact that it wouldn't have made any sense because we knew what Betty was doing at that time, I kind of half expected somehow for that to be Betty. And I was really pleasantly surprised that it was Fred instead of some girl, because I really like the relationship that Archie and Fred have for the most part. And that's one that I think, like, this one and the next week, or this episode and next episode, are a couple of the, or starting with 5, but going through 7, is where Archie is really, like, he's a good dude. Like, Archie is starting to become more of the Archie that you expect from the comics, where he's a lot less self-centered.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that, like, a big part of that evolution would be focusing on relationships that aren't exclusively because the person he's looking at has nice legs.
Hey, Dylan McKay might have very nice legs.
That's true.
Great hair. It does this thing. Whoosh.
And he has a cool dog.
Vegas.
Archie's little fear of werewolves.
Yeah, that was weird.
On that.
I'm going to attribute that.
Very secret marketing for Jughead the Hunger.
That's exactly what I was about to say, yeah. There is, for anybody who doesn't know what that is, which you should. There's an upcoming one-shot sometime this month, I think, called Jughead the Hunger, where Jughead's a werewolf.
Unless Archie Comics delays until, like, 2019.
All I know is comic book covers.
Of those 4 one-shots, 2 of them did get resolicited for April, and they're coming out later. The Archie's one, which I think might have been a strategic thing, because now it's going to come out right around the same time as Alex Segura's novel, and Alex is the guy who's writing the Archie's one-shot. And then the Lil Archie one-shot by Art Balthazar and Franco, I think, got resolicited, but it's no longer Lil Archie. Now it's Lil... It's another character. I can't remember who.
Lil J.
It might be Sabrina. I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Previously it had been a Lil Archie one-shot, and now it's a Lil somebody else who is also from Riverdale.
Reggie.
It's not Reggie. I'm pretty sure the lead is female.
Was Reggie even in this episode?
Reggie was heckling from the audience. He just yelled, go back to playing football, which was weird because he was kind of supportive last week.
I mean, I saw Moose
also
there.
Also weird because let's talk about for the second the fact that, like, he's your star football player. Like, have you ever been to a high school where the star football player gets heckled when he tries to do anything else on stage? Like, that's just not a thing that really seems like it happens to me.
I don't know.
Or if they were doing it, they would have been doing it, like, good naturedly.
What did you say, Chris? I'm sorry.
I have no idea who the star football player was at my high school, so no.
I mean, my school was terrible at football, but I feel like they were still, like, popular people.
Bill Belichick went to my high school.
There you go. I got kicked out of my high school band by the same guy who kicked out John Fishman.
Who?
The drummer from Fish.
Oh, that makes sense.
Does he spell it P-H-I-S-H-man?
No, I mean, he might on the records or something, but as far as I know, when he was at JD, he was with an F.
Do you still know him? Can you tell him I hate him?
I never met him, man. He's like 15 years older than me. We just got kicked out of band by the same dude.
I salute that teacher.
Anyway, so should we talk about the big Jughead-sized
elephant? Yeah, let's talk about the
all right, guys, it happened. Jughead is kind of not asexual for now, I guess. Maybe.
Well, you know, even before that moment, there was like one scene where they're all talking, and Jughead just gave Betty this look.
Oh, it was when Betty was like talking about going on a date with Trev.
No, it was this week.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a group shot, and he was just like totally giving her this look, and it was really kind of amusing. But when that happened, okay, number
one.
When
they were talking about the Scooby Gang, they were like, "Oh, the whole like Archie was like, can I come too?" And then they look at each other and they're like, "No, we're good. Like, you don't have to come," which is kind of cute.
But you know, him climbing in the window was very Dawson's Creek to me.
He's the joke.
I like that he said, "Hey Juliet," which is a great song. Also, I know he's also referencing Romeo and Juliet, but like it works in multiple ways.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So I wonder how much the internet might have a fit about the two of them kissing, because as many people are for it, I'm for it personally. There are a lot of people who are very angry that Jughead is not asexual.
Well, here's the thing. This doesn't mean that Jughead is not asexual at all.
Yeah.
Like, there is still so many roads you can go down with this character. It could be something he hasn't figured out himself yet. Like these are kids who are 15 or 16 years old. For all we know, both Jughead and Betty have never been in relationships with anyone else. Betty's just been hung up on the idea of Archie before she realized how like encrusted with STDs he probably is. Like, and Jughead's just this who has. Who the only things he's ever had to worry about in life or had to think about in life are like his family falling apart and hamburgers and trying to find a place to sleep that night. Like, so
it's kind of important.
He really hasn't, like, as far as we can tell with this version of the character, he hasn't really had time to have feelings for anyone else. And just because he can have romantic feelings for someone and still be asexual, like the two aren't mutually exclusive. It's just who knows what's going on inside Jughead's brain, essentially.
Inside Jughead's
brain. Inside the Jughead, yes.
There you go. I also, wardrobe-wise, and again, I referenced this earlier, but it's worth mentioning that, like, during our first set visit, they were shooting this episode. Like, the outfit that Cole was wearing when the two had their first kiss, he was wearing when he came to do our interview, and I asked him about asexual Jughead. and he basically gave me this long speech that amounted to, "Hey man, if I was writing the show, that'd be the direction I'd go, but I don't think that's what they're going to do." You talk about struggling with yourself. Sure. In the comics, most recently Jughead was kind of identified as asexual.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up.
Is that something that you're going to explore on the show?
Well, it's first off, I don't think it's... I personally would love to see that exploration. But I'm just the actor. At the end of the day, to say that that's my job or my duty is probably a misunderstanding of the writer's role and the director's role and the producer's role. Like, if I was in full creative charge of this character, it would, you know, things obviously would be different. Things obviously would go a certain way. But it seems to me that they're not going to explore that angle. To me, that's kind of unfortunate, to be quite honest. I think there's a lot of room for growth in that, and I think that kind of representation is quite interesting, and I think it's needed, frankly. But this is also one of those things where it's only really been canon in a single iteration of the Archie universe, and that's the Darsky's universe. It was said very shortly in passing, and it really wasn't addressed with kind of the fullness that I think it should have been addressed with. And unfortunately, you know, it has garnered... You know, unfortunately for the other representations of Jughead, it has garnered much of the attention on his character. You know, Jughead has not really been asexual until that single iteration of Zdarsky's comic about a year ago. So it's not in the Digest, it's not in any of the previous ones, and now it's become kind of the linchpin of his character, which I also don't know if that's right specifically. But I don't have that kind of control as an actor, to be quite honest. I would love to sit here and be like, yes, of course, he will do this and this. But, you know, we'll see. I know that, you know, I know that Jughead's story right now has not fully been explored, and especially in terms of sexuality and his placement with the world. And I think because he as a character is so lost, just amongst himself and amongst his relations with everyone around him, that I think there's a lot of growth available there, and there's a lot of narrative that can be explored. But I really think if you want the answer to this question, you should point it at some of the creative leads on this show, because I think that would be a little more poignant. You guys would be able to get better answers.
And that's sort of a line he's maintained since then.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to breach that in the future.
Yeah, like,
As Cole pointed out, though, I mean, that's just been said in, like, one comic book in 75 years.
Yes.
And even then, the current Jughead comic book series from Archie, he kind of seems attracted to Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the current issues. So I don't know.
I mean, they had a date. It went horribly, and it devolved into a prank war that lasted 3 issues.
That's awesome.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, well, and Jughead obviously was kind of outclassed by the fact that he was trying to wage a prank war against somebody who controls magic, can manipulate the forces of the universe. But yeah, I mean, I understand the appeal of having more representation for something like asexuality, which is something that hasn't really been a topic of mainstream conversation up until very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly understand that a character who's as mainstream and as beloved as Jughead, like, it would have been the perfect time and place to, like, insert that. But also, as we were saying in the first couple of episodes, it would be really kind of out of character for the CW of all places to kind of take a romantic or a sexual relationship off the table for a character without at least exploring something first. And when you have teenagers, man, they are not fully formed. And, you know, we're over on Supergirl. We got a 30-year-old main character who is just now figuring out that she's a lesbian. And they've handled that story really well. And it's one of those few opportunities where you get to see somebody actually working through that stuff and coming to that realization instead of just kind of coming into a series fully birthed as a gay character.
No, I was going to say, I also appreciate that the Betty and Jughead thing seems to give Betty more of what she deserves, which is she does deserve a character who will give her the attention and care about her and care about spending time with her rather than Archie, who just wanted to go bang his teacher.
And as of right now, Jughead's such a more interesting character to me, at least, than Archie. Like, I find Archie the least interesting of, like, all of the characters on the show.
Karen Miller is more interesting than Archie.
Well, he's also a potential murderer, but, like, I feel like it's just more interesting, like...
No, he's not!
I just feel like it's interesting, like, that, I mean, I'm sure it will be one of those things where Archie, like, comes around and realizes that he likes Betty because she can't have her now or something, but I feel like it makes Jughead more interesting of a character, and, you know, it just gives them more... Like, and I also like that they had this kiss, and then they didn't, like... They didn't talk about it, they didn't have a conversation. It was just like a very quick thing. They had like a moment and then they had another moment where they figured out something else about the murder. You know, they were focused on the case. They have this, this other connection. They have this growing friendship and this growing desire to solve this murder that, you know, maybe once it's over, they're like, hey, maybe we're just got really in the heat of the moment of solving this case. Maybe we're not, you know, meant to be together kind of thing. And then they can go off on a different direction that way at the end. You know, they were brought together by this extreme circumstances.
Well, I think it's also very indicative. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I also kind of like the fact that Jughead is mature enough as a character that when she, like, when they have their big first kiss and the music swells and everything, and she's like, oh my God, the car! His response isn't like, oh, fuck you. Like, he very much rolls with that, and he's like, okay, yeah, this is the thing we're doing.
Well, I also appreciate about Betty and Jughead as compared to some pairings on the CW that seem to take over shows, is that the relationship doesn't overpower
The All-City Shippers know you're speaking to them.
Okay, yes. They will follow...
All-City Shippers don't listen to our show because Craig is on it.
This is true.
Oh, they don't like me anymore either.
No, okay, so, but what I mean is, even if the two characters are together, they're still trying to find out who killed Jason. They're still doing this or that, and they still have their individual personality traits. It's not just... we're a couple now. I mean, even on Supergirl, the whole Mon-El thing is kind of taking over, and it's like, just let it breathe.
Well, yeah. So the reason I am pro this is, like, it's a coupling that makes sense. Betty and, like, and I believe we talked about this in a previous episode, Betty and Archie doesn't really make sense to me, neither does Veronica and Archie, because Archie comes from a very stable, very sort of normal, not out of control home life, and these are all kids, like, all of his friends are kids who come from various degrees of broken or damaged home lives.
But and Veronica wants a normal life.
She does, but, like, she thinks she does. She thinks she wants a home life, but then I don't think she does. And for me, it's very much exactly what Dawson's Creek was. The reason Dawson and Joey would never have worked in the real world is because they have no concept of each other's sort of frame of reference for what normal is. Like, Dawson came from a well-off family and who lived in a very nice house, and, like, he was the quintessential sort of, like, privileged rich white kid, whereas the chick who had a crush on him was practically homeless, living on the other side of the creek with a pregnant sister, they just come from, and that's the way I'm looking at Riverdale. Like, Archie comes from one world, and all these characters come from another world.
Does that mean Betty is Joey?
I think Jughead is Joey.
But Betty does have the pregnant sister.
But Lily doesn't know who Joey is.
Stop making me feel old.
But so, yeah, I think it makes sense because Archie, he's very, like, in, like, if we're being completely honest, he's lived a rather sheltered existence.
Except for his mom leaving.
Well, but I mean, even that, like,
for Jed Nelson.
His mom left, but clearly everyone's A-okay with it because he makes reference to the fact that, like, everyone seems to be down with it. So it's not that big of a deal. It's just, he comes from a very charmed life compared to literally everyone he knows.
What if Fred is the killer?
No.
Oh, no. Now I'm starting to feel.
That would be so hard.
Now,
yeah, I think the most scandalous thing Jason's probably ever done in his life is, like, or not Jason, Archie's ever done was sleep with his teacher, you know? Like, that was his one big crazy thing. Other than that, he's pretty sheltered.
In the Riverdale one-shot, there's a reference to him going over to Midge's because her parents are out. So maybe Archie was hooking up with Midge also, and that's why Moose is busy with Kevin.
There you go. That makes sense.
So much
nonsense. I think we've talked a lot tonight. I just want to touch on one thing, which is it kind of leads out of this idea that Archie's kind of clueless and takes us out on kind of a lighter note. Okay, so in the span of like 5 minutes, we come to understand that Archie doesn't know who Josephine Baker is. He doesn't know who Bob Dylan is. I'm kind of wondering.
We got Luke Perry to say the word Dylan, which made me happy.
It's true. That's true. But I'm kind of wondering who his musical influences are beyond the ones that he's had sex with.
I literally wrote in my notes, like, Archie is so bad at music.
but
he's bad at playing, but also, like, just in knowledge, too.
Josie makes the Yoko Ono reference at dinner. And then Archie, it's like 10 more minutes before Archie, like, says to Val, I don't want to be the guy who breaks up the Beatles. Like, do you think he had to go home and figure out who Yoko Ono was before he could?
he definitely sleuthered that. Like, he went home and was like, who is Yoko Ono?
That's what I, like, I love about this series, though, is, like, a character like Veronica will make, like, pop culture references, and Archie will have no idea what she's talking about.
Archie sucks.
But I will say,
like I said, I like Archie a lot better in the last couple of episodes. When Archie is being a genuinely good dude and, like, not focusing everything around his perseveration of the moment, then I'm much more behind him. All right, guys, any final thoughts? We got to do our Who Killed Jason Blossom for those of us who haven't already said it. But besides our Jason Blossom theories, is there any final thoughts on this week's episode? I mean, this is a huge episode, and we jumped around a lot. I'm sure there's still plenty more to say, and I'll end up coming back with another thing like I did with five today. But
I thought it was great. I'm really excited to see where the Polly story goes. I can't wait for her to, come in contact with other people in and around Riverdale. Because holy hell.
Like Jason's
Mom. Yeah, I thought like a fantastic episode from top to bottom.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I loved seeing Josie again.
Yep.
Even if she was in a really bad mood.
Oh, that Pussycat's performance, though. They did I Feel Love.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this because when, I don't know, because we were at different tables at that first visit, and Josie's saying I Feel Love to our group, and it made my heart sing because I love that song. And I was like, oh, they're going to crush it, and it's going to be glorious. And they did, and it was.
And I loved that Valerie, you know, again, had a decent-sized role this week. And, you know, maybe an Archie and Valerie thing will continue. I liked the intrigue with the whole thing with the mysterious buyer of the drive-in. Although, I thought it was referenced earlier in the series that Fred had that contract. But maybe I just imagined that?
No, when he got the contract to tear down the drive-in, his rationalization for it when Jughead was challenging him was basically that if he turned down the gig to tear it down, he would never get the contract to rebuild it, which could be a bigger one and employ a lot more people.
Okay, now I get it. So that was really well done, and I mean, it was really crappy what Hermione did to Veronica, but it's going to make for good television, so I'm okay with it. And yes, yeah, seeing more about Polly, I thought that was really cool. I mean, it's amazing that in just like six episodes we got to this point. So I'm happy.
That was actually to your point about Veronica. I had almost the same note about the Coopers not telling Polly about Jason's death. It's like I can't imagine a scenario where that makes sense. Like especially like they could totally have used that to make her more
crazy,
like, more easily controlled. At the same time, by not revealing it to her, it means that we got to see it play out on screen, and that was just absolutely crushing. Like woman who plays.
Who wrote this episode?
Let me look.
Because they deserve a shout out.
But yeah, the woman who plays Polly, who I'll also look up and give a shout out to, because I know I follow her on Instagram. I can't remember.
I'm not even trying to say it.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm looking, because I know that the spelling is weird, and I'm, you know, not good with that.
It's just going to be like Camila or Madeline, where we just say the name wrong for a couple of episodes before getting it right.
There you go. All right, so this episode is written by Tessa Lee Williams and Nicholas Zwart.
And who directed it?
Wikipedia. Stephen A. Adelson.
Well, they did good jobs. Brittany, do you want to offer your thoughts of the episode?
I really, really like this episode. I'm cannot wait for the inevitable showdown of like Polly versus Cheryl, because there was a lack of Cheryl this episode, and so I'm just like waiting for that moment, or like at least Cheryl's mom versus Polly. Like that family is gonna find out that girl's pregnant and they're gonna go crazy. So like I feel like it left a lot of really good threads that I'm like really excited for, like the whole Veronica having a stake in her parents' company thing. Like that has to mean something. Like that was kind of like a loaded gun they kind of just left on the table there for. And, you know, she's definitely going to blackmail her mom somehow because she was not happy with where she was left. So I like that it, like, left a lot of really good threads. It, like, kind of, you know, gave us some more stuff about Jason. It gave us some more stuff about Polly's story. So we kind of got some things tied up and then some things that are leaving a breadcrumb trail for us to, you know, carry us through the next couple episodes that I'm really excited about. Mm.
And I believe that the girl who plays Polly, her name is Tiara Scopi, unless I'm butchering that, which I probably am. But again, I wanted to kind of give a shout out to that because like I thought she did a great job, and I thought that especially like that like 45 seconds of her playing out the reaction to Jason was just fucking heartbreaking. It was hard to watch.
I also some young versions of them at the start of the episode too.
Oh yeah, that was super cute.
Like Little Betty and Little Bob.
Oh yeah. And then casting-wise, those kids were pretty spot on.
Yeah. I think we need to see a little Archie episode at some point also.
And I want to see
I'm down for that.
You know, go
I
on.
See like more. or about live Jason. Like, I would love to see a flashback episode where we actually get to see Jason. Like, we've seen a little bit of clips where he doesn't really talk that much. Like, I'd love to episode just to start with, like, a minute or two of just him in school or him with Archie or just, you know, something so we get to know who he really is, too, before, you know, before he died.
Well, we do
now. I kind of feel like they're intentionally making him – sorry. I feel like they're kind of intentionally making him more an idea than a person right now because that allows them to – like the flexibility to unveil something new every episode. I feel like, you know, by the end of the season we'll start to know.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be shocked if Finale has a bit of live Jason in that, like, in, like, recap showing what actually happened because we know Trevor was up there when we were there when they were filming the finale. They wouldn't fly him up just to talk to us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, doesn't he live there?
No, he lives in L.A.
Oh, okay. I take it back.
Which is why we're going to try to get him on our on our finale party.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Cool. I'll
That's what I'm doing.
It's going to be weird because I doubt we're going to get that one as a screener.
And that's kind of why I want to do, like, if we can, I want to try to get some guests because it would be... if we got to do it as a live stream, which, I mean, I'm down with, but if we have to do it that way, like making it a little bit more exciting and a little bit different from, cause there are some other post show podcasts, Hiram's Lodge, which we actually name dropped last time. Cause we thought it was such a cool name.
That's a good name.
Yeah. They're following us. Hopefully we should be following.
We're following them. We're subscribed to them on iTunes.
I like them. I think the Riverdish people are following the Riverdale TV account too. So shout out to them.
Yeah, I got to look at the Emerald City video account.
What?
I said I got to look at my Emerald City video account. Hiram's Lodge started following ECV.
I don't know why they need an official podcast when us unofficial people are so awesome, but apparently there is. Craig says bitterly. What, did you say your thoughts on the episode, Russ? Yeah, I guess you did.
I mean, my thoughts on the episode. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about a lot of stuff, but I mean, this episode was my kind of... I don't know about favorite necessarily, but this one was like, holy crap, like so much stuff happens and almost all of it's really good. And like, I think this is one of those episodes that's like really rewatchable. And if not for the fact that you come into so many stories in midstream, this would be a great episode to show people to be like, dude, you have to watch this show.
And there's so many good performances in this episode too, which make it fun to watch. Like I watched it once and then I kind of skipped around and watched it again, but I watched all the performances because they're all pretty good.
I really enjoyed, this is like some context. We first saw this episode when we were in Vancouver. There were six of us watching it together in the place where Betty's phone didn't work. And it was more fun to watch with friends, I found. Because we all were reacting.
It was a lot. I mean,
like when Polly
was. Yeah, and I was taking photos of all of us watching it, and Twitter was getting jealous because we were watching new content.
Should we remind everybody of where to find us?
Sure.
That seems like a good idea. Why don't we start with Brittany?
You can find me pretty much all the time on Twitter at Kinda Movie Snob, KINDA Movie Snob, and that's where all my stuff is, all my writing, and I'm also on the Flash podcast, as I said before.
Where do you find the Flash podcast at? Does it have a website or just on iTunes?
TheFlashPodcast.com, we're on iTunes, we have a Twitter, The Flash Podcast, so we're inescapable. Just The Flash Podcast and we're there.
Awesome.
It's like those black flashes that chase after you if you're like a time remnant.
Yeah.
Time Wraith.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Craig.
You can find me at ksitetv.com and a million other places. My Riverdale posts are always retweeted at Riverdale TV. That's also where you can tweet us about this very podcast. So if you have questions, things you want us to bring up, things you want us to shout out, do so there.
Cool.
And ksitetv.com. And you, Chris.
All my writing is at ScreenerTV.com, formerly known as Zap to It, a subsidiary of Tribune Media. That's right. I'm at Chris Hayner on Twitter, ChrisHayner, also on Instagrams. Also, at Waterworld Photos on Instagram to see the best damn pictures you will ever find of the Waterworld stunt show from Universal Studios Hollywood. A.K.A. the greatest thing that's ever happened to theme parks since Pirates of the Caribbean pre-Johnny Depp.
All right.
So yeah, Atwaterworld Photos. My true joy.
I'm a big fan of Atwaterworld Photos. And I'm Russ at comicbook.com. You'll find tons and tons of my writing there. You can follow me on Twitter at Russ Burlingame. That's hard to spell, so I usually tell people just do at ECV underscore podcast. That is the Emerald City Video Podcast, a podcast where I get together with people who I used to work at a video store with 10 years ago. We talk about movies, and literally nobody listens. Yeah.
I also want to say while we're on here, you know, I was looking at the stats for our podcast, and it seems like it's growing the last 2 weeks, especially now that we're on iTunes. So please subscribe to us on iTunes, leave feedback, reviews, etc. But thank you, everybody, for listening. And, you know, as always, if there's stuff you want us to bring up, if you want us to shut up about certain things like Sheriff Killer, we can do that, you know.
Shut up about that.
And, yeah.
You don't get a vote.
Yeah, rate and review on iTunes. That's big, and that's very helpful.
You can also find us at archiedigest.podbean.com.
That's true. Or on Facebook, where we are Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast.
Podcast about a story about a town.
About a state.
About maple syrup.
Oh, God.
No matter what happens, if we become huge stars or if we end up hitchhiking back to Riverdale, we will always be friends first.